Praise God. I'll tell you what, God is good. Well, I'm excited about tonight's word. I really believe that God's got something great in store for you. I want to take you somewhere with me, but before I tell you where we're going to go, I'm going to give you the title of today's message. I'm titling it Our Daily Life. Our Daily Life. You know, I think we can all say, regardless of, I don't want to preach a cliche, post-election type message, but I think that it's safe to say that pretty much all of us at this point, whether or not you're happy or sad at the outcome of the results of the election, I think everybody's got a sigh of relief, a little bit of a, that it's over, that you can resume watching television without seeing smear campaigns, and you can enjoy your neighborhood yet again without seeing all the different names and the different banners and the different signs, and you can drive down the street and not see all the different election things, and there's a sense of solidification of what yet again in your life, a sense of kind of going back to normality. You're not wondering, you're not constantly living in limbo. Well, do I vote yes for this or do I say no for that? I don't know about you, but I'm particularly glad that it's all over and that it's in the past and that we can kind of get back into life as we know it. We can kind of push back into the way things were. And I was kind of reflecting on it and reflecting on life. And I really believe that the Lord spoke to me and He was talking to me as I was preparing tonight's message about our daily lives, about things that we ought to do every day, things that we do every day. And I want to take you to one of my favorite passages in Scripture. So if you've got your Bibles with me, turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in the 63rd chapter. It's one of my favorite passages in the book of Psalms. I remember the first time that I came into contact with Psalms. Now, I've read it over the years a few times, but I remember there was a time, particularly 10 years ago, when I was in university, and one of my teachers, he made me memorize Psalms, the 63rd chapter. And ever since then, I've really kind of put an effort into studying it, into getting in the heartbeat of this particular psalm into my heart. And I tell you what, it's just something that I continually turn back to. It's something that I continually go back to. And as I was in my studies, and as I was in my prayer time with God, I really felt like God had impressed and brought this back to my heart and brought some things to light to me, to me, so that we can deliver and talk about tonight about some things about our daily lives. There's some things that I want to show you out of the book of Psalm, the 63rd chapter, out of the chapter there, about things that we can do in our daily lives, things that we ought to do. So I want to take you with me to my favorite passage, one of my favorite passages. And I want to talk to you tonight about some things that we need to do or we need to remember every day. Because these aren't things that, you know, as Christians that we should do once in a while. These are things that we ought to maintain and remember to do every day. Each and every day, whatever it is, doesn't matter the circumstance, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life, doesn't matter what it is, if times are good or times are bad. It's things that we need to remember to do every day. So what I want to do is I want to go through the 11 verses of Psalms, the 63rd chapter, and I want to take a couple things out. I've got four things for you tonight. Now, I'm sure we could probably spend weeks on this passage of Scripture, and we can probably pull 15 things out of this. But in order for time's sake, in order to not keep you here till 10 o'clock at night, I've got four things for you that the Lord impressed upon my heart that we can apply to our lives, things to do every day, things to remind or to remember to do every day, looking at Psalms in the 63rd chapter. So you guys are there in Psalms in the 63rd chapter. Let me get there. You were turning in your Bible and I was talking, so let me get there. In Psalms, the 63rd chapter, we're talking about our daily life. Tonight I want to talk to you about some things we need to remember to do every day. Psalms, the 63rd chapter. It's a psalm of David, King David. And let me give you a little bit of background of this before we go. It's a psalm of King David when he was in the wilderness. He was, some say it was when he was being chased by his son Absalom, who had had a mutiny against David and his regime or his kingdom, and Absalom rose himself to power and called himself king, and everybody found themselves following Absalom, and David was running for his life for a period of time from his own son. And here's a psalm that David, while he's running from his life, many think that this is when it was written, while he's running for his life, he's in the wilderness, he's out in hiding. And this is the psalm that he writes, and it really blesses me, it really touches me, and I hope and I pray that tonight I really believe that God will reveal some things to your heart. So tonight I want to talk to you about some things we need to remember every day, talking about our daily lives, looking at Psalms 60, 63rd chapter. Number one this morning, or this evening. Number one this evening, and we're talking about things to do, is number one, first and foremost, is we have got to make time for God. You've got to make time for God. Now, when I say make time for God, I mean that you have got to set aside time for God each and every day. It's not just a Sunday. It's not just a Wednesday night thing. It's not, oh, well, you know, Pastor Luke, here I am at church. This is making my time for God, and that's great. I'm so glad that you're here. But the fact of the matter is like with any relationship, if you're a husband, or if you're a wife, if you're married, or if you're engaged, or you've ever dated somebody, if you've got kids, you know that if you only gave that person an hour a week in that relationship, that it wouldn't be a very strong and affectionate relationship. It wouldn't be a very healthy and strong relationship. The fact of the matter is that you and I, we have got to make time for God. We live in the 21st century, and I'll tell you, it's amazing that time has a tendency, I don't know if anybody else is this way, but time has a tendency to just creep up on us, and it doesn't seem like 24 hours a day is just enough time in a day to get things done. I mean, I've got so many things on my list. I know my wife has you husbands, you might know this. My wife has a honey-do list that it doesn't end. It's like Santa Claus's list of good names. You seen that, like the roll that just keeps going and going, and every day I know she adds and adds to the honey-do list, and I'm like, babe, stop. I'm overwhelmed. I can hear the little restart button in my mind. Like I just had to restart because the list got too big and I had a crash. And you know, the fact of the matter is that if you and I don't set aside time for God, life has a way of just creeping in. Life has a way of just going about its time. And we'll look back on the day. We'll look back on the week. We look back on the month, whatever it might be, and say, man, you know, it's been a really long time since I've cracked open my Bible. Man, it's been a really long time since I just got quiet and I just went before the Lord in prayer. You know, it's been a really long time since I've spent any time with God. And the fact of the matter is that you and I have got to make it a point to make time for God. Now, I had you turn to Psalms, the 63rd chapter. We're going to go there together. We're going to look through this. So read with me. Come with me in Psalms, the 63rd chapter, in the first verse, second verse, to see what David, the psalmist, says about this. Look what David says. He says, oh God, you are my God. One of the things I want to say before we go any further is I want you to really grab a hold of the heartbeat of David as he writes this psalm. I think that if you read this and if you meditate on this, if you study this, if you take this passage, I encourage you, take this passage the next couple of days. Just think about it. Read it to yourself, or read it. You know, it takes 3 minutes to read this passage. You got it on your phone or your Bible or whatever it is. Print it out. Put it in your car. Read this with you. And I want you to grab a hold of the heartbeat of what David is saying to God. And he says, oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. Listen to the picture that he paints. He says, my soul thirsts for you. You know that quenchable thirst, like if you've been working all day or if you hadn't had anything to drink in a long time and your mouth is just dry. It's just such a miserable feeling, that feeling of just needing something for refreshment. And here David says, God, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He paints a picture of a desert. And he says, in verse number 2, he goes on to say, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. So you see, verse number 1, David, the psalmist, said, Lord, early I will seek you. Verse number 2, he says, so I have looked for you. You know, the process of seeking, the process of looking, involves setting aside time to do that process. I don't know if anybody has ever lost their keys. Has anybody ever lost their keys? How about this? Has anybody ever lost the remote? Don't you know that you are going to set aside time? You could get up and change the channel, but no. Listen, I don't care if it takes 10 minutes. I don't care if it takes 30 minutes. If you've lost your keys, you lost your wallet, hallelujah. If you've lost the remote, you know you're going to set aside. David paints a picture. Seeking, looking, because he needs it. Your keys. You can't leave home to go to work without your keys. You can't leave. So what do? You tear the house apart in a rampage. Okay, maybe not the rampage. That's just Pastor Luke. But you set aside time. All of a sudden, you may have had a priority. I got to do this. 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 And this is the list of order of things I got to do. But then when you realize that your keys are missing, when you realize that something essential to you is missing, what happens? That becomes priority. And everything else that you had to do takes a sidestep to finding your keys or finding your wallet or hallelujah, finding that remote. And it's exactly the same picture that David says. He says, you know, listen, I have this and I have this to do and I've got this, but God, oh God, you are my God, he says. Early I will seek you. I will set it apart to look for you, to take everything that I was thinking about, everything that my mind was wrapped in, and I will set that aside for whatever it might be. And Lord, I will seek you. I will set aside time to be with you. And then he goes on to say, God, I have looked for you in the sanctuary. God desires. He's not, we've said this before, you've heard this many times here at the church. You know, God's not a God in heaven that's sitting there with a 2x4 in his hand just waiting for you to come back and spend some time with him saying, man, I've been waiting for you. But the fact of the matter is that God is like the picture of a loving father. Just wants you to be with him, wants to spend time with you. When my boy, my little 18-month-old Bjorn, is in a cuddly mood and he comes up and hugs me and I just squeeze him. There's few things in life that are better than that. There's the embrace of somebody who loves you and that just wants to be with you. And God loves you. God just wants to be with you, and you've got to set aside time in your day, in your busy lives. Set aside 10 minutes to go before the Lord in prayer. 15 minutes. Some people, you know, set aside an hour to pray and to read your Bible. You know, the average American watches 2 to 4 hours of TV a day. But how much time do we set aside for God? To give to God our heart, to give to God, to seek after him like he's something important in our lives, like the keys or the remote. We've got to set aside time for God. Are you with me today? You know, everybody, if you don't know this passage, it's okay, you'll know it today. But I know a lot of Christians really love Jeremiah 29, chapter verse number 11. It's like our staple, you know, prophetic verse. It's our staple verse when we want to feel good about things. So let's go ahead and put up Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29, 11, it says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil." Hallelujah, we want peace and not evil, right? To give you a future and a hope. Praise God, we want a future and hope. So a lot of Christians, we make this the staple verse of our Christianity. But I love what verse number 12, verse number 13 go on to say. Look what verse number 12 says. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Listen to what verse number 13 says, though. Speaking about a hope and a future, about thoughts and plans. Verse number 13 comes on and says, "And you will seek me and find me." But look at what it says afterwards. There's a conditional statement there. When you will seek and find me, what? When you search for me with all your heart. When you set aside time to make God a priority in your life. You know, Pastor Jim, my dad, all my life, and you guys have heard it before, if you've ever been here and heard Pastor Jim speak, you've probably heard him say that what you treat as common will become common. And one of the biggest travesties that you and I could ever do in our lives, in our walk with God, is we can treat the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, to treat the gift of Jesus Christ, the price that He paid so that we could be reunited with God, to treat that as common. Because what will happen is it's common. You know, I'll be open, I'll be honest. I was telling my wife, one of the things that spurred me to go to this verse today is I was doing this project at my house, and Mondays and Tuesdays are my days off from the church. And this week, I skipped my allotted time. I told my wife, I was telling her today, I normally take a couple of minutes and just read some verses and think about them for the day. And I just pray about some things. And I said, you know, I got so wrapped up in this project at home that on Monday and on Tuesday, I skipped my times with God. And then I'm reading Psalms, the 63rd chapter, about seeking God. Oh, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land, like there is no water. And I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I got so wrapped up in my own business. I got so wrapped up in my own interests that I forgot to make time for you. And how fast did 2 days go? If we don't take time right now to focus in on it and to look at it, to make a plan in our lives. Let me tell you something. 1 day turns into 2 days. 2 days turns into 3 days. 3 days turns into a week. A week turns into a month. A month turns into backsliding. And then we wonder why we're not where we're supposed to be with God. So I want to encourage you today, like the psalmist, to hear his heartbeat, his cry for God. Like, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land. My flesh longs for you. Church, we ought to long for God. We ought to have such a priority in God that we take time and that it's not an obligation to say, well, you know, I need to take the next 10 minutes. But rather to be joy, to go before the throne of grace and make our petitions known, but to do so with joy and gladness. Say, hey, praise God, I get to go spend some time with God right now. God says to his people in Jeremiah, you will search, you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So I want to encourage you today, some things that we need to do every day, some things that we need to remember every day, is that we have got to set aside time for God. Number two, out of Psalms, the 63rd chapter, we have got to praise God, hallelujah, even when you may not feel like it. Whoa. Remember, I was just telling you about what Psalms, the 63rd chapter was all about. Here's David, here's the psalmist writing. David's the king, he's the great king of Israel. Everybody loved him. You might have heard about King Saul, and after David had slayed Goliath, they sang songs about David saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Everybody loved David. And then all of a sudden his own son turns on him, takes his kingdom, and here David finds himself out in the wilderness in exile. And look what he says in the midst of tragedy in his life. Look what he writes in Psalms, the 63rd chapter, starting in verse number 3. Psalm 63rd, verse number 3, he says, because your loving kindness is better than life. Right off the bat. God, because you're not God, because I am blessed and on my high hill. God, because I have everything I need. No, he didn't say that. God, because things are going my way. But he said, rather, God, because your loving kindness is better than life. Sometimes life doesn't feel so good. But David, the psalmist says, God, you are so much better than life. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Look what he goes on to say. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Church, even when life isn't at its best, there's still reason to rejoice because God is on the throne. There's still reason to rejoice. Why? Because Jesus Christ bore our sin and our shame on the cross. Even when life is not at its best, there is still reason to rejoice because God is in control. Amen? And I want to encourage you. Doesn't matter where you stand, if you're up high on your hill or if you're down low in the depths of the valley of the shadow of death, taking a walk through it, not camping in it, I want to encourage you, like the psalmist says, things that you and I need to remember to do is we need to remember every day to praise God, even if we don't feel like it. You know why? One thing is it lifts God up. It exalts God up. And we've been talking about humility. Has anybody been here on the weekends hearing about our messages from Hebrews out of humility? Remember, we talked about humility is self-exaltation, lifting ourselves up. But humbleness is God exaltation. Guess what happens is when we lift God up, God lifts us up. And when you exalt God in praise, let me tell you something, it's a reciprocal effect that God imparts love and blessing and fulfillment in your life. And you may feel down, but when you praise God and when you give glory to God, it changes your perspective on life. And now all of a sudden you begin to realize, hey, guess what? Yeah, my circumstances aren't good. My life is a little tough right now, but let me tell you something. Praise God that God is on the throne and you begin to see things through a different mindset. So we've got to remember to praise God every day. You know, I won't have you turn there, but you know, in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, look what Peter says in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. I'll go ahead and put it up on the overhead, verse number 3. Peter starts off, and this is the beginning of 1 Peter, and he's giving an exhortation to the church, and he says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He says, "Blessed be to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, who came and bore our sin that we could be born again." He's given an exhortation to say, bless God. Praise God, glorify God, magnify God. But look what he goes on to say. Verse number 4. Peter goes on to say, verse number 4. I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't verse number 4. Verse number 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." He says, listen, bless God because you have got a great and you have got a mighty future in store for you. And that today may not be a good day, but God has got something great. God has got something mighty. God has got something wonderful in store for you. But he doesn't stop there because that's the easy part. Look what it goes on to say in verse number 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation." Now he's starting to change something. He says, who are kept? God is keeping you, holding you. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now verse number 6 comes, and this is the verse that nobody wants to read. And it says, "In this greatly rejoice." Praise God. Hallelujah. Gets a little bit quieter. Because he says, hey, "In this greatly rejoice. Now though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." He goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And Peter goes on to say that there's a reason for it. But did you notice that he started with an exaltation? Did you notice that he said, hey, glorify God. But then he says, in this, in that. Hey, listen, knowing that. Go back to verse number 6 for me, guys. In this what? In this praise that we just went through, knowing that in this time of praise, you have been grieved. So Peter knows full well that we will go through. He knew full well when the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write this. God knows full well that you and I will have hard times in life. But he says, listen, even through the hard times, glorify God, knowing that there's something brighter and greater for you in the future. Jesus Christ, heaven, eternity with God. Hallelujah. So things for us to remember to do every day. We've got to remember to praise God. Hallelujah. Even when we may not feel like it. Sometimes when you don't feel like it, those are the best times to praise God too. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I'll tell you, sometimes you just don't feel like it. And you give God some glory. You give God a little bit of time. And I'll tell you what, your whole day and your whole outlook's different. That's a whole different message. Number 3, we're talking about out of Psalms, the 63rd chapter. Number 3, you got to meditate on God's goodness. Meditate on God's goodness. Now, meditate on God's goodness, I want to express that this is different than making time for God. Now see, you've got to make time for God. You've got to make a time where you sit down, that you turn everything off, that you turn the music off, that you turn the TV off, and get alone with God and let God speak to you. Whether it's when you're driving in the car, turn the radio off and just listen in silence and pray, or whatever it might be. That is making time, setting aside time for God. Now, meditating on God's goodness is the other end of the spectrum, and that is to keep a continual reminder of the goodness of God in your life. Not just in that time that you've set aside, but all through the rest of the day. To continually bring to remembrance, to remind yourself of what God has done, the glory and the goodness of God, the mercies of God, like the Bible says, that are new every morning. To continually meditate and think about it. Why? Because what you think about, the Bible says, so when a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When you put things in, when you think about things, when you meditate on the things of God, guess what? That is what begins to influence you and change you and mold you into what God has called you to be. And all of a sudden, the things of God that were, when you first got saved and you read about, oh my goodness, I'm not supposed to be drunk anymore. Oh my goodness, I can't go sleep around anymore. And you think, oh, this Christianity thing is so tough. It's just hard. It's not fun. But let me tell you something. The more you meditate on the goodness of God, the more you think about the precepts of God, the more it gets into your system. And all of a sudden you realize that stuff is death. That stuff, when the Bible says that it takes you away from God, it's the truth. And when you meditate on God, oh, it's just so good. Oh, it's just so good. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says in Psalms, the 63rd chapter. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of the wings of your wings, I will rejoice. You know, one of the things that we were talking about on Friday nights in the young adults is we've been talking about the subject of faith. We talked about this word meditate, what meditate means. And you know, I think in our day and age, you hear that word meditate, you think of orange robe, feet crossed, you know, hands out in a weird position with a hum. The word meditate means to ponder, to recall, to bring to mind, to think about, to imagine. So here the psalmist, dear David, is saying, oh Lord, I think about you on my bed. I bring to remembrance your goodness in the night watches. And church, what we've got to do is we've got to remember to think about God. You know, hey, listen, take a moment when you're driving down the road to look at the mountains and the sunset and say, wow, you know, God made those, but he values me more than that. How about take a moment to say, you know, I just was thinking about this. My wife and I, we were at Disneyland on Monday. And we were with our little boy, and he was just having a good time. He was playing, and he took a fall. He tripped, and he was running, and he fell. And he hit the corner of a curb right on his head. And it was bad. I mean, Dad screamed like a little girl, and I went and picked up my wife, who's 9 months pregnant, is scurrying over fences because it was a bad fall. The fact of the matter is that we were, you know, we were concerned parents. We're thinking, oh no, you know, we had to take him to the first aid at Disneyland, and the nurse there was telling us all the signs of concussions and all the sorts of things to look out for. And, you know, so we've got this kind of spirit of fear about us. And then we started thinking about it, and he went right back to normal, and he's okay. He's got a little knot on his head, but he was out there dancing to the parade and everything else, just having a good time. And I started thinking about it as I was driving home, and I was just sharing with Stacy. We were talking about it as we were coming home. You start thinking about the goodness of God. Oh, God, how good is God? Yeah, my boy fell. He smacked his head on a rock or on a curb. But you know, if it would have been an inch further, he would have smacked his teeth. If it would have been an inch back, he would have jammed his neck. And I thought, man, isn't it amazing? Like the psalmist says that I will dwell in the shadow of your wings. And even though my boy was hurt, even though he's got a little knot on his noggin, we started to think about the goodness of God. Oh God, how good are you that he's okay? Oh God, how good are you that we didn't spend the night in the emergency room with stitches on his head? Oh God, how good are you? How about this, church? Oh God, how good are you that I have breath in my lungs tonight? Oh God, how good are you that I'm alive today? Oh God, and we just take some time to think about God and how good he is. And let me tell you something, life will become alive to you. When Jesus Christ said that he came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly, when you begin to think about how good God is and the goodness of God in your life, let me tell you something, your outlook on life changes. And it may not be good and it may not be great for you right now. You may be heavy-hearted and carrying a burden. But let me tell you something, when you begin to think about the past victories that God has given you, the past victories that God has given those around you, you begin to ponder and imagine and recall. You know, that word recall is interesting. It means to bring back into your mind. So what that means is that implies that you were thinking about one thing and that you had to change your thought and bring back something into your mind. And what you and I have to do is to bring back as you're driving. To bring back the thought of how good God is. As you're working, and sitting behind the desk, or standing behind the counter, or standing behind the machinery, whatever it is, to bring back, to think about how good God is. Oh God, thank you that I'm alive. God, thank you that I've got a job. God, thank you that I'm healthy today. God, I thank you for your healing. God, thank you for Jesus Christ. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. And you begin to think about and meditate and recall and imagine and ponder the things of God. And life itself truly jumps out at you. Are you with me tonight? Last one for tonight. Last one for tonight. I think this is a fun one too. Last one for tonight. We're talking about Psalms, the 63rd chapter. Things that we've got to remember to do every day. Things that we've got to bring to remembrance every day. Here's number four. You and I have got to rely on God's strength. I'll tell you what, there are times when you just don't know if you're going to make it through the day. But the fact of the matter is we'll see in a moment that God's grace steps in and allows us to make it through. Not only make it through, but make it through victoriously. You know, one thing as Christians, you and I got to get in our minds, is that the grace of God comes behind us, and that God, like the psalmist says, we dwell in the shadow of the wings of God. So you know what? We ought to not have the mentality of, I'm just going to make it by. Oh, praise God, He helped me so that I could just scrape by. Even if you are just scraping by, our mentality, our thought should be, praise God, God came by me, so I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to be victorious, and I'm going to come out a victor, and I'm going to be an overcomer, like the Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter. And that we've got to rely on God's strength. Not only rely on God's strength, but remember God's strength. Because oftentimes we forget that we're supposed to rely on God's strength. And we try to get through life on our own. And then we do this, and we do plan A, and we do plan B, and we do plan C. And then all of a sudden we remember, oh yeah, why don't I bring it to God? So we've got to remember every day that we've got to rely on God's strength. Look what David says in Psalm 63rd chapter. He says, verse number eight, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. The king that shall rejoice in God, everyone who swears by him, speaking of God, shall glory. But the mouth of those who speaks lies shall be stopped. And David says, hey, listen, God upholds me. God has been faithful to me in the past. Now here's David in the wilderness. Here's David running from his own son. And here's David says, you know what? God anointed me. God gave me the ability to defeat that punk giant Goliath. God gave me the ability to defeat the Philistines. Let me tell you something. He's sitting here in the wilderness and he remembers, you know what? God has been faithful and God's right hand upholds me. And then all of a sudden David remembers the goodness of God. And verse number 10 and 11, guess what he starts doing? He starts prophesying, saying, those who come against me because God upholds me will fall. Because it's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God that's sufficient for us. A familiar verse, a familiar passage in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. Paul the Apostle, will close with this. Paul the Apostle is writing and he's talking about a particular subject. We know it as the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he says, that came, that Satan sent to buffet him, to push against him, to just nail him. Three times he said he prayed to God deliver him. And finally, the Lord spoke to him. The interesting thing is, if you read in your Bible, the words of Christ are in red in 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. We'll go and put it up on the overhead. Paul the Apostle says to me, and he recounts what God says to him, and he said to me, speaking Jesus, the words of Christ in red, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul speaking, he says, now I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. Look what he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because Jesus Christ tells you and I today through the Word of God that's alive and powerful, that the grace of God is sufficient for you. That Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when you and I have opposition, when we have bad days, when we have hard times in life, you and I ought to smile. Remember we talked about praising God. If there's a reason to praise God, right here you go. Hey God, I praise you, I glorify you, I magnify you. Why? Because your word says that your grace is sufficient for me. So God, I glorify you. Your right hand upholds me. And Lord, I will rest in the shadow of your wings because I know that your power is what will get me through today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And I will be, like the Word of God says in Romans, more than a conqueror because the grace of Jesus Christ, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it, steps in and gets us through. But not just scraping by, church. But we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We are heirs and co-heirs. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. Like we sang today, the Bible says, that don't you know that that God works all things to the good of those who are called according to the purpose of God. God works things out for you and I. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Guess what? We can rest assured that God has got our back. And you're not going through life alone. So today we talked about some things that we've got to remember to do every day. Every day. Every day. Hey, every day. Number one, we got to make time for God. You've got to make time. Number two, you got to praise God. Even if you don't feel like it, glorify Him. Number three, you got to meditate. Think about it. Recall. Enjoy life. Look at the flower on the ground and say, wow, God is amazing. Look how beautiful that is. I'm not telling you to be a hippie and all that and all earthy. But enjoy what God has created for you. And remember the goodness of God. And finally, number four, rely on God's strength. Don't get through life on your own and don't go through scraping by life. But be a conqueror in the name of Jesus Christ because His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect. Amen? Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord tonight?